For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zach, will you pray for us, please?
Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here.
Oh, God, help
us. Again, in the house of the Lord, Lord, we thank you for the life that you've given us. Dear God, we thank you, dear God, for the word of God that we get to hear week in and week out, dear God. And I thank you, dear God, for the preaching of the word of God. I thank you, dear God, for the power of the Holy Ghost upon the preaching, dear God. Lord, we thank you for the conviction that you put in our lives. God, we thank you for, dear God, the drawing of the Holy Ghost upon the lives of people. Dear God, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you would be so kind as to even meet with us, dear God, be so merciful to
God,
us.
God, I pray that you do.
Dear God, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for
God, I pray
the
for
Holy
that.
Ghost, dear God, and we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for all the blessings that you've given us, dear Lord. We thank you for your word, dear God, how it changes our lives and how it gives us direction and it lights up the pathway of this life as we go. Dear God, I'd be nothing without your word today, dear God. My life would be destroyed without your precious word. Dear God, I thank you for it. Dear God, that it's nothing that I've come up with, nothing I've done, dear God, but your word is everything, dear God. And dear Heavenly Father, it teaches us how to raise our family. It teaches us how to do what we do, dear God, and we thank you for it. And dear God, I pray that you bless the preaching today. God, that you touch our pastor and give him the words to say, give him the clarity of mind. Dear God, I pray that you'd forgive us of our ungodliness, dear God. The thoughts that come in our mind of lust, of pride, of selfishness. Dear God, of evil thinking, dear God, putting ourselves up above everybody else, dear Lord.
Right.
God, we thank you, dear God, for your mercy and not destroying us already.
Right.
We're not already consumed.
That's
dear
right.
God, that you let us drive up and down the road. Dear God, that you don't destroy us and that you haven't already put us in hell as we deserve, dear God. And dear God, we thank you for it. And dear God, we pray that you'd help the service today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you talk as a preacher and you get up in the pulpit and you just say things and you're just trying to find some kind of a comfort place or something to break the ice or, just get, past some of your nervousness. And then, Brother Zach, sometimes the more I talk, the more nervous I get. when you say something and people look at you like you're a double-headed Martian, it didn't go over right like you wanted it to. It sounded good up here, but it didn't sound good here. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Since God sent his only begotten Son, and since he was made flesh and dwelt among us, and since he accomplished and completely fulfilled the will of the Father, since he went to Calvary and laid down his life and was made sin for us, and since he shed his blood to pay our sin debt, and since 3 days later he got up out of the grave and hell, and since he went to the mountain of transfiguration and ascended up on high, and since he made us the promise that when I go away, I'll send you another comforter, and since his promise has been fulfilled, the Holy Ghost is here. He delivered on his promise. And since the Holy Ghost is here, he's been reproving the world of sin. I just want to say, since all this has taken place, that's the complete works of salvation, ladies and gentlemen. So then why ain't people saved? I mean, if Jesus, being the Son of God, being made flesh and dwelling among us and accomplished the perfect will of God, if he can do all that he done, and he did all that he done, and everything that he ever promised has been fulfilled, and everything that we've ever needed has been taken care of, and the price has been paid, and the debt has been paid, and why ain't people saved? I mean, if he done all that he done, why is people still lost? I mean, I wonder these things sometimes. Number one, I'll get right into it. Number one is because of religion. People are lost because of their religion. John chapter 8, verse 32 through 34 says this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." See, they thought that because they were in the lineage of Abraham, they were part of the covenant. And they thought because they were of the seed of Abraham that they were okay. That they were just going to be fine and dandy. They did plenty of good outward things. They sure did. They did a lot of good works and a lot of good deeds. But here's what that tells me. They were religious people, but still they were lost. I would venture to say they ain't a person sitting in this building, all of us combined, wasn't as good a people as what they were. But without Jesus Christ, they was going to bust hell wide open. The Lord himself even told them, "Y'all do some good things. There's some good things about y'all. There's some good works in y'all. But I tell you what you're missing. You're missing Jesus Christ. You're missing salvation. Your religion is what you do. You're missing what I've done." The Lord even told them they'd done good things. But those good things wouldn't work for salvation. We do a lot of good things, but your good things ain't going to take the place of salvation. Ain't this exactly what happened to Saul of Tarsus? Who in here is more religious than Saul was? Who in here is more adamant? Who in here has more fervor? Who in here has more vigor than what Saul of Tarsus had when he was of that religious bunch? And man, I mean, he was on the job and he didn't miss a lick and he fulfilled everything that he was supposed to fulfill and he was right on time. And I mean, son, he was fervent in the work of the Lord, you understand? And man, he did everything that he was supposed to do. But then thank God one day he set out on that. Hey, you know, he was doing real good till he ran across old Stephen over in the book of Acts. Saul was doing real good. And the Bible said that they were going to stone old Stephen because he was a man of God and he would stand on them street corners a day. He wasn't a preacher. He was a preacher, but he was a deacon. And he did what saved people were supposed to do. He went out on the street corners, praise God, and he preached Jesus full of the Holy Ghost. I was thinking in Sunday school, Brother Zach, when I used to preach on the streets, I seen people get saved. And now that I preach in church, I never see people get saved. People on the street wasn't a whole lot of religion to deal with. They wasn't too religious. They were pretty unreligious. They realized what they was, but then you get inside the church and people's raised inside of the church and they've been told everything in the world, and it's rare that you ever see anybody get truly saved. You have to go almost down there to the cesspools of sin. If you go back, I believe, Monday night, and hear Ronnie give his testimony up there in Black Creek. Hey, man, he wasn't over there singing in the church choir when God found him. Man, he was a double-barreled hypocrite is what he was. He was acting religious, but he wasn't nothing but a stinking drunk. And then somebody spiritual could come along and he could talk Bible to them. Thank God the Holy Ghost hemmed him up. Let me encourage you to go listen to his testimony before Brother McVeigh preached. Paul was doing fine. Old Stephen's over there full of the Holy Ghost. And man, ain't that one of the best stories in the Bible? I love the story of Stephen. Because when he was stoned to death and he looked up and he saw the Lord standing. I don't know about you, but man, that stirs me up just to think about the Lord standing up, welcoming him home. I mean, the Lord stood up for him, you understand? He's sitting up there on the throne, and when old Stephen was stoned, he saw the Lord standing up for him. And boy, I appreciate that. But then they began to take their jackets off and so they could get a better throw with their stones, you understand? They didn't want that restriction of that coat or that upper garment. They would take their clothes off and they went over there and handed it to old Saul of Tarsus. Amen. Saul was doing good sitting there holding all them clothes until he seen that man full of the Holy Ghost. And he began to smile as he looked into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the pricks, the spider ain't bothering me if it ain't bothering you. He needs preaching too. And that's important though. You want to stop and take a look at the spider? Let's stop and look at the spider. Because we're talking about Jesus here. Hey, spider. All right, we've seen the spider. That man of God stood over and smiled. And Saul was pricked in the heart. He got to heading down to that Damascus road one day, and he was going to go do more religious work. He was going to go do more religious work. Praise God, that bright light shined out of heaven. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am he who thou persecutest. Why kickest thou against the pricks? Praise God, Saul fell down, man, to the ground. That bright light blinded him. And Saul got converted by the grace of God, got saved, got born again, and went on to serve the Lord. You know what they told Saul? Hey, listen, Saul was okay when he was running around killing Christians. Saul was okay when he was going out there cutting babies out of mama's wombs. Man, Saul was the man of the hour. He was a big shot. You hear me? I mean, he was one of the head honchos, Bud Rowe. He was doing well. Ain't that amazing that everybody was just giving old Paul some attaboys, and everybody was so proud and pleased with Paul, and Paul was such a good man. Oh, man, Paul, boy, I tell you, he lived by that law, and he did what the law said, and if you didn't do what he thought you ought to do as far as that religion goes, they'd kill you for that stuff. They were defensive over their religion. And then old Saul turned into Apostle Paul, glory to God. And he got saved and full of the Holy Ghost. And he was shipwrecked. He was snake bit. Everything in the world that could go wrong did go wrong, like you mentioned this morning. And Paul never had it like that before, you understand? But when he got saved and full of the Holy Ghost, and man, he started going through them old fiery trials, and the people started coming up against him, and they took him down to the courthouse. Hey, when he got full of God, you know what people said about him? Much learning doth make thee mad. Hey, it's okay for you to go out there and practice your religion, Saul. It's okay for you to go out there and kill mamas and kill daddies and cut the babies out of their mother's wombs. It's okay for you to behead those stand for the cause of Christ because that's your religion. But for God's sakes, don't get on fire for God and sell out for Him. They'll call you crazy. Religion, ladies and gentlemen, is what we do. Salvation is what God does. It's a world of difference between what God does and what we do. Religion. We have the tendency to look crazy at some people. Why you look so crazy at a Muslim? Why do we look crazy at somebody that's over there praying on an oriental rug? Ladies and gentlemen, everybody's religious. That's just their religion. You understand that a communist, that is his religion? You understand that a socialist, that is his religion? Hey, wait a minute. You understand an atheist, that is... Don't look at the atheist funny. That's just his religion. Everybody's got their own religion. And because your religion don't match up to his religion, for some reason we think They're crazy and we're not. Can I be honest with you? Everybody's religion is crazy. Hey, including the Baptist religion. I just assume have an atheist in his religion as I had a Baptist in his religion. There ain't no difference. It's just religion, ladies and gentlemen. And both of them's going to send them to hell, amen? Whether they believe what the Baptists believe that's wrong, or whether they believe what the atheists believe is wrong, or whether they believe what Islam believes in is wrong, it's all religion. Everybody in the world has their own religion. And it's keeping folks from getting saved. The Baptist religion, because I guess I'm a Baptist, makes me sicker than all of them. Listen to what James 1:27 says. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Let's check our religion. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's good religion. But do you understand that if you was to visit every fatherless child in the entire world, and you were able to fulfill every carnal need that that child had, if you was able to go and meet with every widow and appease her every affliction in the entire world, hey, that would just be a good thing. But do you know you could accomplish that and die and go to hell? I'm telling you, even pure religion won't save a man. Pure religion ain't salvation. Pure religion is what a Christian ought to do when they get saved. But people's counting on it to save them. People's counting on their Bible reading. People's counting on their witness programs. They're counting on their little good deeds that they do. Ladies and gentlemen, then we ought to do good. The Bible teaches us to do good. But I ain't never encouraged a sinner just to do good. Sometimes I wish they wouldn't. Sometimes I wish they'd just be a sinner and lose that little bit of religion. Number two. For some reason, ladies and gentlemen, the world's got religion all messed up. And we don't need religion. What we need is Jesus. Religion will polish your halo. Religion will pat you on the back. Religion will help you with it increase your pride. Right. But when you get a hold of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, it kind of bust up your pride. It'll bust up some of that stuff. Won't think so much of yourself. Amen. Are you listening? I said, when you get a hold of Jesus and Jesus gets a hold of me and you, won't think so much of ourselves. Number two, people's not saved because of riches. Riches. And we've talked about over in the book of Revelation where he said you're rich and increased with goods. It ain't always money, but a lot of times it is. Riches is going to keep people from getting saved. Listen to what Mark 10:17 says. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" You see what Jesus did here with this rich young man. Some people think he's Apostle Paul, and that's fine. I'm not going to say anything for or against that, but the Bible says that he came to Jesus, and boy, he came to Jesus in his religion. Lord, I do good things. I mean, I've kept the law from my youth up, and I do this and I do that, and Jesus just got through all the junk, all the religion, and he got down to the nitty gritty, right where his problem was. Ain't that exactly what Jesus does? Jesus will slap you in the face with your problem. He don't beat around the bush. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ will snatch that problem up and set that thing out there before you. And at that point, you're going to make a conscious decision. Either you're going to agree with God against yourself, or you're going to defend yourself and go away grieved. And way too often, ladies and gentlemen, we see our problems. Our problems is brought up before us. And instead of handling that thing and turning against ourselves and our problem and agreeing with God against ourselves, we begin to make justifications or point our fingers or compare ourselves to somebody else or bring up what somebody else has done. We make some kind of an excuse instead of doing what God wants. God wants us to look at it, agree with Him, and repent of it and go on with Him. Amen. Brought the boy's problem up. Yeah, you do good. You're mighty religious. But why don't you take all that you have and sell it? Take all that profit now and give it to the poor folks. And come take this burden. Come take the shame and the reproach and follow me. Come take the mockery. Because you know people's going to look at you and go, my God, that old boy had him made, man. That boy was set to be a millionaire. And I mean, man, he had all them riches. And look at him now. He ain't even got a change of clothes. Look at him now. He ain't even got a bed to lay in. Look at him now. He ain't even got a roof over his head. I mean, what an idiot this guy must be. Jesus said, why don't you pick that up and put that on your back and let them say whatever they will and come follow me. Why don't you forsake it all? Ain't you glad that God will call out your problems? Amen. I would expect when I said that, that somebody would say, boy, I sure am. This is what God did for me, Miss Kim. This is exactly what God did for every other human being on planet Earth in the history of all mankind. It's exactly what He did for them. When they got saved by the grace of God, God brought up their problem, faced them with their problem, and ever how they handled that, ladies and gentlemen, is what they was able to do with Jesus. Amen. If they were able to sit there and turn against that and agree with God on that and see the wickedness in that and repent of that, then God was able to save them. But if they begin to make excuses, oh, friend, it's over. I'm telling you, this stuff is keeping people from being able to get saved. I mean, God will bring the problem up and people will not line up with God. They want to argue. They want to fuss. They want to have an issue. They want to point the finger. They want to compare. They want an excuse. They want to justify. They want everything but repent. They want everything. And they're not getting saved because of it. So I have a problem with so-called people that call themselves saved that does not see how rotten and sorry they are. That somebody can bring up a problem in their life and they start excusing it. And I'm saying excused for, just so we don't have to go into detail. I don't understand why people that say they're saved get bent out of shape when a problem of theirs gets brought before them. That's not saved people reactions. Lies bother me. Attacking the truth bothers me. But I, Miss Kim, hope that I don't sit around, and I don't think I do too often, sit around and defend myself. I will defend truth. But I don't spend a whole lot of time defending myself. My wife was with me the other day, and a man was talking to me, and this grown man began to point out problems that he sees in my life. You know what I did, Brother Zach? I shut up. Number one, he was right about what he was saying. And it hurt. And so I asked my wife yesterday evening, I said, honey, do you know why I didn't say anything back? You know why I didn't defend myself? She said, no, why? I said, because he was right. And I knew way down deep that I was a whole lot worse than what he was saying. Just shut my mouth. Let him say whatever he wants to say. He's right. Wasn't no need me defending myself. I'm a whole lot worse than what he even mentioned. Oh, Lord, I know me better than he knows me. I believe the reason people get so bent out of shape with being faced with their problems is because they've never seen the Lord. Here's something that I have learned, Brother Zach. The closer I get to him, the wickeder I see myself. The closer I get to him. Hey, Eric, there's been times in my life where I've drawn real close to him. And when you get real close to him like that, God begins to let you see yourself clearer. And this is what Apostle Paul said. I must decrease. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when I've been close to him before, I tell you what I wanted to do, Miss Kim. I wanted to crawl in a hole under a rock somewhere. Because I see how wicked and vile and ungodly I really am. I can tell you the reason people don't see how vile and wicked and ungodly they are. I tell you why people sit around and defend themselves, Brother Zach, because they ain't never been close enough to God to see how wicked they are. Preacher, you're a gloomy preacher. I don't give a flip what people say. I'm telling you, the closer you get to God, it's a peaceful life. It's a joyful life. It's a wonderful fellowship. But I promise you one thing, my joy don't come from walking around thinking how good I am. It don't come from realizing, man, that I'm a good person and I got all this good stuff going on. I tell you, it's about that I've got a good God. I'm as sorry as you know what human being. But I tell you, praise God, he's a good God in spite of me, in spite of my faults, in spite of all my failures, he's a good God. I believe people think more of themselves than they ought to simply because they've never seen the Lord. I said born again people will not sit around and defend themselves all the time. What'd Jesus do over in John chapter 3 when he come across old Nicodemus? He crossed him up, didn't he? Jesus will cross you up, is what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus will bring your problem up to your face. And when he seen Nicodemus over in the book of John chapter 3, old Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus was a well-off man. But Jesus Christ looked beyond all that, and he looked at Nicodemus. He said, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man is born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he was old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, hey, Nicodemus, shut your mouth. Close your mouth. Pick your jaw up, son. Listen to what I'm telling you. You must be born again. Your little riches, your little religion, all that you do, all your positions, it ain't enough. It's what you've done, Nicodemus. I'm telling you what you've got to do. You must be born again. It brought Nicodemus's problem to the surface. Nicodemus didn't sit there and argue with him. Nicodemus didn't sit there and point his finger at other people. He didn't justify himself. He didn't make excuses for himself. Son, he took what the Lord said. And I personally believe old Nicodemus got in. I believe he got in. Jesus went down the road a little bit further from John 3. And he got thirsty on the way. And he went over there and sat on a well. I said, Jesus, the cross you up. And whatever you do with the cross up, whatever you do with what Jesus brings up before you, is what's going to determine what Jesus does next. And he went over there and sat on that well. And here come this woman, after the crowd was gone, after the rush hour at the water well, and there wasn't nobody else left around there to shame her and put that guilt on her and look funny at her. And there's that lady of ill repute. Oh, man, you better hide your husband. Hide your sons. There she is, man. No, she went down there when everybody was gone, praise God, but the well himself. You know what he did, Brother Zach? He crossed her up. He said, hey, lady, I want you to understand something. You done been married way too many times. Can I paraphrase? You've been married way too many times, girl. He said, in fact, the man that you're with now ain't even yours. He brought her problems up. Amen. Oh, praise God. And she even got a little religious to him and started telling him about worshiping God. And he said, lady, look, you don't even know what you're talking about. He said, the hour cometh when true worshipers shall worship him. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Boy, I tell you, we got a lot of people today that's trying to worship God in the spirit and ain't a drop of truth in it. Then we got that other crowd, that educated crowd. They're going to try to worship God in the truth, but they ain't a drop of spirit in it. I run across people. Hey, can I be honest with y'all? Can I puke a little while? Can I be honest and tell you something? I very rarely ever in my life talk to anybody that's got any spiritual matter about them. I know a lot of people that's got a lot to say. I mean, there's a lot of talk in my life. I hear a lot of talk. I mean, it's constant, man, about every day. I hear everybody. You know, all of them saved. Everybody saved. Everybody. I told my wife last night, I said, everybody saved. When we flip, Hitler saved. If he was living today, Hitler would have had him a profession. In fact, Hitler's religion, he was right, and he was heaven bound, and he was probably going to take over one of the thrones in heaven when he got there. And you couldn't have convinced him otherwise. But his religion is going to carry him to hell. You know, it's rare that I ever in my life run across anybody, Miss Amber, that wants to talk to me about spiritual things. Brother Zach, sometimes I'll pillow my head at night till it broke heart. And I go, I have went all day, Miss Hannah. I think I have went all day and I ain't heard one spiritual word all day from nobody. But we love God. Everybody around me goes to church and most of them go to Baptist churches. And I never, ever hear any spiritual conversation. I ain't acting super spiritual. I'm just a child of God, man. I'm telling you, I'm a pilgrim wandering away through this old wicked world. Every once in a while, it'd be good. Man, do you understand? Brother Zach, I sit over there and I miss that old man so bad this week. The longing in my soul, I missed him so bad. I missed him so bad. I said, man, I'd give anything if I could sit in and call Brother Pat. You know why? Because we're going to spend 45 minutes talking about the Lord. I never went to see him this day without him going, praise God, sir, let me tell you what the Lord showed me this morning. We would talk about Brett Favre for 15 minutes, a drunk quarterback in the NFL. Brother Pat thought he was wicked and needed to get born again. We would talk about the world for 15 minutes and get right back on God. We'd spend 8 hours sometimes in his living room, Miss Kim, just fellowshipping about God. What God has done, what God is doing, what God has showed us in the Bible. And it was good, man, it was good. Now I can go 8 hours a day, 6-7 days a week and never hear one comment. Let me show you what the Lord showed me in the Bible. Can I show you what the Lord, man, praise God, get excited about it. Man, come here. Hey, let me show you what the Lord showed me this morning. I never hear that. Somebody pick up a phone. Hey, man, praise God, let me show you. I grabbed my text, man, the Lord showed me something yesterday. I grabbed my phone. It was about 10:33. I grabbed my phone. I said, boy, I hope Brother McVay's up. Should have known them two little old kids is about to wear his grown butt out.
Big old man like that can't handle two kids and driving 6 hours down the road. I hope he's listening. We're tired, preacher. We drove down the road. We got two kids. We're wore out. Well, we all got two and three kids and, you know, working like that. Bless his heart. Bless his heart. His diabetes has got him. I hope he listens to this, Miss Kim. Every time I look at that 17-foot tall man, he complained about being fatigued from riding down the road. I think, oh, that's so sweet. I hope tonight, God, next time they have children, they have quadruplets at one time. Amen. I'm praying for quadruplet McVeighs. Amen. I love Brother Tim. Just picking on him. I grabbed that thing. I said, boy, I hope Brother McVeigh's up. And I started texting. Brother McVeigh, I wanted to share with him what the Lord. And I didn't call. I texted just in case he was in the bed because it was extra late. I don't like to call people past 9:30. But I was just testing the waters, and I threw that text out there. And sure enough, I didn't get a response till this morning. That's fine. I understand. He's preached. He's wore out. He's tired. They changed two diapers. They're tired. And Lily Ann ain't in diapers no more. You know what Brother Pat told me one time? You know what he said? Sitting down there in the living room. I'm getting way off, but I just think about some of the times that we had. He said, son, he said, if I traveled with Brother Joe Parsons, he said, we'd go around and preach. And he said, them meetings would last till 11 o'clock at night. He said, we'd get in a good service and that thing would last till 11 o'clock. He said, we wouldn't get back to our motel till way after 11 o'clock. He said, man, we'd get back over there. And he said, it would be way in the morning. He said, it'd be 12, 1 o'clock before we even got to bed. He said, I remember going to bed at 12 and 1 o'clock. He said, I'd get up at 2. He said, I'd go to the bathroom. He said, there would sit old Brother Joe over there in the chair, fully clothed, with his tie and shoes on, praying and meditating on the Lord. He said, Brother David, that man didn't sleep about 2 hours a night in them meetings. He spent that time with the Lord. And I told my wife, I believe I told her yesterday, I said, honey, Brother Pat was my closest connection to Brother Joe. I think Brother Joe's one of the greatest men of God I've ever listened to in my life. He never got any louder than what I am right now. But you knew that he had been with the Lord. There's a difference in what he had to say. There's a difference in that man's delivering that speech. And it's just you say, what is the difference? Spending time at the feet of Jesus. And man, that old man could stand up and say some of the most basic things, and it would be the most profound thing that you heard. Why? Spend time with Jesus. Miss Stephanie, I miss Brother Pat. And then Brother Alan Smith. And then Brother Don Crider. I didn't call Don Crider to talk about football. He didn't know the first thing about football. He didn't know football, what they even made footballs out of. But we talk about the Lord. I miss those things, ladies and gentlemen. How come nothing's ever spiritual? I ain't talking about being super spiritual. I'm just talking about when's the last time, man, you had a fresh encounter with Jesus Christ and come out of there, praise God, and couldn't wait to tell it to somebody. Amen. You know who did that? That woman that had been married way too many times. And Jesus told her, you've been married too many times. And the man you with now ain't yours. Boy, you know what she did, Miss Kim? She didn't justify it. She didn't make excuses. She threw a little religion out there on worshiping the Father. And Jesus straightened her out on that. You know what she did? She repented. Praise God. She went back down there to town. She said, come see a man. Which told me all things that ever I did is not this the Christ. Man, and the Bible says that many believed. They were some of those people sit there. They didn't want to give her no credit. They didn't want her to know, man, I'm going to get saved because of her testimony. But the Bible said many believed because of her testimony. Come see a man which told me all things. But you know what she's willing to do? She's willing to repent. I'd have got carried away. Here in our text, Jesus is messing with a man in his riches. How would you like it if God told you that you got to get, sell all that you have? Oh, by the way, take the money and give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. Couldn't you hear it now? Honey? Yes, love. That's how it is at my house. Yes, love. Got news. Glory to God, I got good news. What is it? I sold the house. You did what? I sold the house. Well, what are we going to buy? Buy? Honey, I gave the money away. I went down there to the streets in Winston-Salem. I found a couple old poor folks over there wandering the street, and I gave them every bit of the money. You did what? You did what? Honey, that ain't all. We ain't got a car. I gave the car away too. And listen, don't worry about the bed and the furniture and the clothes. All that went in the deal. All we've got, honey, is this cross and this Christ. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take up this cross and we're going to follow him. And we've got rid of it. Boy, could you imagine? Could you imagine? Do you understand this is what Jesus is saying to this boy? My church would need 3 more wheelchairs to carry his extra body parts around. We'd start tearing each other's heads off, ripping their arms off. Are you kidding me? That's got to be lost your mind. You put us out on the street. We ain't got a dime to show. We've worked our entire life for this. Do you know how much I put into this? Do you understand the years of wear and tear that I put in it? And you took it all and sold it and gave the money away for Jesus? Are you crazy? What did Jesus tell us got to do? Sell all that you have. Take it and give it to the poor. Now, with nothing else in your life, take up that cross. Take up them slanders. Take up that shame. Take up that reproach. And come follow me. Because, son, they're going to run their mouth about you now. And here's what the Bible said. That old boy walked away grieved. Sad, ain't it? Most folks is going to go to hell because they're not willing to get rid of the riches. Them riches. Folks ain't willing to suffer loss that they might gain Christ. It's good preaching, whether you like it or not. It's truth preaching. It's the truth. Folks ain't willing to suffer loss to gain Christ. And they're going to take all that they have. They're going to take all of their possessions and leave them here on planet Earth and die and go to hell. Your car's going to be here. Your bank account will be here. Your clothes will be here. That bedroom suit will be here. That nice house is going to be here. While you're in hell and you've left it all behind, there's still nothing to show for it, where you could have at least got rid of it all and trusted in the Lord with all your heart and had something to show for it when you die and left this world. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't believe you got to sell your house to be saved. I just believe you got to be willing, if that's what God crosses you up with. If God crosses you up with your bank account, I think you're going to have to be willing. You know how many people ain't? And they're going to go to hell with it. It'll take them to hell.
Let me ask you a real simple question. I think I read it in a good book somewhere. I think I did. What would it profit you if you gained the whole world and lose your own soul? What good would that do you? You'd be better off dead broke with Jesus. Boy, don't tell them prosperity preachers I preach this, man. They'll call me a heretic. It's just amazing to me what people are bound to hold on to that's going to end up taking them to hell. And they're bound to it. Let me ask you a question. What is it that you're holding on to? Are you listening? What is it that you're holding on to that you won't let go of so that God can save you? Because there's people inside this building and you are holding on to something. You may not be holding on to the house or the car and all that. You may be willing to give all that up because, you know, whatever reason, I don't want to get into that. But there's still something that's more precious to you that you're holding on to, that you're not willing to get off of, that you're not willing to let go of, that you might gain Christ. What is it? Why ain't you saved? There's people sitting in this building that ain't saved because of some kind of a riches that they ain't willing to get rid of that they might gain Christ. So instead, what they're going to do is hold on to that and they're going to walk away. Listen, grieved. How many times have we walked away grieved? Knowing something wasn't right. Knowing that we were faced with it. Knowing that God wanted it out. Knowing that it was wrong. Knowing that it was keeping us back. Listen, and we didn't get it right. But we walked away grieved. You know, it may not be materialism like that at all. Miss Kim, it could be pride. We don't think about some of these things. But most of us has got enough pride to sink the Titanic. And that pride, you know, we've heard preachers preach it all our life, Miss Kim, in these parts. About not worrying about what person across the aisle thinks of you. You know why preachers say that? Because people sit in there and worry about what other people might think about them. Can I be honest with you? A half split second in hell, you won't give a flip what all of us think about you. It won't amount to a hill of beans. I mean a split half second in hell, ladies and gentlemen. It won't matter what people think about you. And I tell you, that's just a trick of the flesh. That's the pride of life. That's a lie out of hell. And I tell you, man, the second you hit that altar, praise God, the second you encounter Jesus Christ, you don't give a flip what people's thinking. And you know what people are thinking? Thank God. Glad they got it, man. If they're right with God, if they're halfway right with God, if they've even got religion, they'll act happy about it. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, oh, there's nothing in this world worth dying and going to hell for. Nothing. But riches are sending people to hell. People's holding on to something. I've heard stuff that people have said about their past, Eric. I mean, I've heard people say, well, I've been a liar. Hey, I want you to understand something. The blood of Jesus is able to cleanse you from being a stinking liar. I mean, we are not lies, but everybody has told some lies. But I want you to understand this much. Praise God. Jesus Christ will wash away the lies. It washes. I've heard people confess that they weren't saved. I've heard people confess that they're not saved. And I don't believe they even really want to be saved. I'll never accept that. I'm not saved and I want to be saved. I'll never believe that a man wants to be saved, ain't saved. Never. because Jesus Christ, hey, it's the perfect will of God to save every man that believes. You understand? If a man will repent, if a man will put his faith in Jesus, I'm telling you, it's the perfect will of God. He wants to save sinners. And if a sinner wants to be saved, are you listening? If he wants to be saved, God will be readily available to save that sinner. I believe we've lied to ourselves. I believe we convinced ourselves. I believe we deceived ourselves. I believe we're deluded. I believe the devil has bamboozled us. I believe everything that you can say, except they don't want to be saved. They don't want to be. They don't want to be. Here's what I would do. If I was saved, lost, and I heard a comment like that, I would just get mad. I would buck up against it. If I was lost and I heard my pastor say something like that, I'd probably go, well, he don't understand. I know. You're going to hell and you do understand. I know that I'm saved and you're lost and you've got it together and I'm the fool. I'm the idiot. What I would probably do is crawl away and say, oh God, search me. Search me, God. And whatever God crosses you up with, whether you can see it or believe it or don't believe it, hey, agree with God on that. I don't even really see it. Brother John's made that testimony time and time again, that God showed him that none seeketh after him. And Brother John said, I spent all that time telling God he was wrong. I mean, basically, I'm paraphrasing some of it, but basically telling God he was wrong. Lord, if I ain't sought you all these years, then what have I done? Contradicting the word of God when he was a lost man. And Miss Kim, he was down there with the Ruckmanites. And the year before he got saved, he won 500 people to God. And ain't won 500 ever since he's been saved. But the year before his conversion with the Ruckmanites, he won 500 people to God. 500 professions. And this man sitting there going, the Lord told him, none seeketh that. God, if I ain't sought after you, then what did I do? And when God jerked the scale off his eyes and crossed him up with what he had been doing, you know what he said he done? He agreed with God against himself. Like that. You say, why Brother John? Not just Brother John. Every human being on planet Earth. Every human being that ever got saved by the grace of God is the same thing. They just didn't come along and give us all their testimonies. God's crossed every one of them up. Every one of them's been crossed up. And what they did with that determined their outcome, salvation. The world has uncertain riches, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me. I don't want to get on no bandwagon, and y'all know how I am. But, hey, listen. Why don't people go steal away and wrestle with God anymore? Hey, when's the last time you heard this weird talk? I wrestled with God all night long last night. When's the last time you heard some weirdo Christian make a comment like that and showing the world, not because he heard it out of, you know, some cute story, but because he wrestled with God? I remember hearing about wrestling with God, Eric. And I thought, man, that's crazy. How do you wrestle with God? Wrestling with God. I had three brothers. We wrestled. I had three sons. We wrestled. I got a wife. She beats me up. And, we don't wrestle. She just... And I went, how do you wrestle with God? I've wrestled with him, Brother Si. I've wrestled with the Lord. Miss Kim, I've wrestled with him this week. I ain't talking about an arm wrestling contest. I'm talking about a spiritual wrestling match. I wonder why people don't wrestle with the Lord anymore. You know what I think Brother John was doing when he was disagreeing with the Word of God? I think he was wrestling with God. That's what I call that.
He was sitting there wrestling with that. All that time, he sat there and wrestled with it, wanting to believe that he had been seeking after God. All this good stuff. Man, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He got 500 professions last year. I mean, man, look at all that I've done. I've committed myself. I've studied this Bible. I've learned more Bible. I'm sharper than most around me. I mean, what is it, God, if I ain't searched after you, what is it that I've done? Wrestling with God. You know what he did? He wrestled with God till God touched him.
I don't have a problem with what he done.
He said, man, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't question God. I wouldn't call God. He's wrestling with God. He's wrestling with the Lord. And he wrestled like Jacob of old until God broke through and touched him.
And when God broke through, my God, the scale was removed from his eyes. And his eyes was open that he could see. Oh, it was about self. It was all about me. It was all about religion. It wasn't about Jesus. I wasn't doing it for him. I wasn't doing it for me. It was all about me. Praise God that he wrestled until he could see. His old riches in this world so uncertain. I'm surprised and a little hurt by all the Christians that think so much of Donald Trump. And I'm not here to blast him. He's the president of the United States. But I'm not trusting in Donald Trump's riches. I'm looking unto the Lord from whence cometh my help. That's where our help comes from. The stock market, ladies and gentlemen, will leave us homeless. The presidents of the United States will leave us homeless. They're not here to help us. They're not going to deliver us. They're not going to see this thing through. I'm telling you, man, this thing could collapse at any. Hey, it's uncertain what they can do. They're just human beings. I'm not trusting in that. I believe this economy can crash with Donald Trump in the White House. Dave Ramsey as the secretary of all the money. I mean, you take the sharpest money men in the country and this economy can fall, beloved. In the blink of an eye, they'll give a flip who's at the stern. I tell you, I'm not trusting in Wall Street, not trusting in a politician, not trusting in some kind of investor. I want to be able to trust in the Lord. And if this thing goes belly up, praise God, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. He said, look, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. It ain't what man can do. It's what God's going to do. These men ain't making the economy boom. It's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. I tell you, if these men could have their ways, they'd take all the money out of the world, put it in their bank account, gather up all the prostitutes that they could get in one room, and have them a heyday of a party. Preacher, I wouldn't say that. Hey, listen, that's the heart of man. But thank God for accountability. I ain't looking at Trump. I'm not looking at Biden. I'm looking for the lesser of the two evils to get in the White House. The one that says, you know, no to abortion, but probably had no telling how many. Number three, I ain't going to get nowhere. Some folks ain't going to get saved because of relatives. Because of their family. Luke 9:57 through 60 says this, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You know what this old boy said? Lord, I'll follow you. But there's some things I got to do first. I've got to go. Listen real good. I've got to take care of my family matters. Lord, it's my responsibility to take care of my relatives. And after I take care of that,
then I'll take care of you. You know how many people died and went to hell with them intentions? You know how many people in hell today that's in hell today with good intentions, but awful, awful priorities? There's nobody in hell today, I don't believe, that said, hey, I'm wanting to go to hell. I've had some look at me and tell me they want to go to hell. And I'm not lying, and I've heard other people say it, but this is what I've done. I begin to pray and beg God to go ahead and take them to hell. And they've stopped me from praying. And I said, look, man, you want to go to hell? I'm trying to help you. Man, don't pray that.
I can remember looking at one guy big enough to eat me.
And he was refusing and rejecting and rebelling against it one day. And I looked at that big sucker and I said, hey, look, why don't you just go on and go to hell then? I tell you what, I'm going to pray and ask God to go ahead and just take you on to hell. My pastor was down there in Middleburg, Florida, knocked on a man's door, and that man just told him basically the same thing. Praise God. He told him, he said, man, I ain't going to turn back there. I just soon go to hell. My old brother Leroy, he bowed his head sort of praying that guy into hell. That guy stopped him. He said, man, don't do that. He said, I didn't really mean it. He said, look, if you'll stop, I'll come to your church. The next day, the old boy come to church and got born again. And didn't just get born again and leave. He got born again and stayed, amen. He stood up, he said, I ain't never had nobody pray me into hell. He said, I didn't sleep at all last night. He said, it tore me out of my frame. Here this preacher was, I was going to smart off at him. And this man sat on my porch and prayed me into hell. I didn't sleep at all last night. I said, hell will sneak up on you. Hell will sneak up on you.
You'll be in hell before you know it, friend.
This guy said, Lord, let me take care of some things. And then I'll take care of you. And God said, hey, look, you let them things take care of themselves. What you better do is get after me and don't waste no time.
Handle your business with God. But some people let their family get in the way. Their relatives. It's full of good works and full of good intentions. I had terrible priorities. Listen, folks, you don't get saved later. I'll get saved later. You don't get saved later. You don't get to call the shots. Your preacher don't get to call the shots. God and the Holy Ghost is the ones that's calling the shots. And you'll get saved only when that conviction falls upon your heart and the Holy Ghost is stirring the waters of your soul. Or you'll not get saved at all. You'll not be able to say, Lord, I understand this conviction. I know I'm lost. I'm hanging over hell. But there's some things I got to take care of. Hey, friend, if you'll come to Jesus, He'll take care of what needs to be taken care of.
Some more convenient day. On thee I'll call. Paul, almost. Oh, Paul, that's good preaching. Oh, Paul, I know you're telling it right. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But Paul, hell's going to creep up on me. And before I know it, Paul, I'm going to die and go to hell.
And that's what Agrippa did, friend. He rebelled against God. Hey, listen, let me get something straight. Because we grab pieces here and grab pieces there. We snatch this and we snatch that before you know it. We take all these little pieces through the years and we put it together as if it's a one-time thing all of a sudden. When I got saved, I didn't know a stinking thing other than I was wicked as hell. I knew I was lost, Derek. I knew I deserved to go to hell. I knew Jesus died on the cross. I knew He shed His precious blood. I didn't see everything about me that I see today. I see a lot more stuff about me today than I saw that day. But the stuff I saw that day was enough to put me in hell justifiably for all eternity. And I understood that.
Oh, I saw myself as God saw me. That's wonderful. I tell you how God saw you. He saw you a sinner. You didn't see all them details the night that you got saved. It ain't necessary that you have to see all them details. What you must see is that you're a sinner lost without God. You don't have to understand all that other stuff. The closer you get with God, the further you go along, God will uncover things. And 30 years down the road, you'll still be repenting. But what we've done, Miss Stephanie, is we've convinced people that in order to be saved, you're going to have to be like this and like this and like that and like that. There's a pattern now, even in our circles, where we're not easy believers. But man, I need to be able to go through all this before I can get to that. I'll tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to see yourself a sinner. And all them details will fill in later. Man. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we get to preaching and we get to putting all this stuff together without taking time to rightly put it together. And I tell you, man, people get confused sometimes. Well, that ain't happened to me. You know what I saw when I was lost? I saw that I was lost. I didn't understand, Brother Zach, all the stuff that I understand now. And now I look back, Miss Kim, and I can honestly say what I saw was the most sickening thing that I ever saw in my life. But you know, when I got saved, I didn't know that that was the sickest thing. I didn't even know that was what I was supposed to see and say. I knew I was lost and without God. Hi, preacher, I don't know. Well, go talk to that fellow over in John chapter 9, verse 1. And when Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Oh, and Jesus touched him. And they got down there and got to question this old boy, a bunch of smart aleck religious folks, all them rich people, all that junk. They got together and they got there. He said, all I know is this. Whereas once I was blind, but now I see. It don't sound like a lot of our testimonies, does it? All I know is I was blind, but now I see. Pretty simple salvation, ain't it? I know I was lost. I know I was without God. I know I was a sinner. But now through the years, we've dressed it up and made it so pretty, and we've made such a format out of it. People don't even know how to believe in God anymore because all this stuff ain't in line. They don't have to be in line. All you better know is that you're blind and he can make you see, friend. That ain't easy believism. That's Bible. I knew I shouldn't have killed that rat. Should have put him in a cage up here with one of them little wheels and not greased it just to get me a squeak every once in a while. I've seen myself more clear in the last 30-some years, folks. I didn't see everything 30 years ago that I see today. And if you say that you saw all that the night you got saved, I'm going to look you in your eyes and say you're a bald-faced liar. You ain't arrived, bless God. Ain't nobody that arrived. Ain't nobody that sharp. Ain't nobody that matured in Jesus Christ on the day that they got saved. I tell you, we grow from in the grace and knowledge and truth of the Lord and Savior, and we get a little bit closer to Him. And I said at the onslaught, the closer you get to Him, boy, the wickeder you see yourself. Miss Stephanie, I've been traveling down this little road for about 30-some years now. And the closer I get to Him, the more I see that He done for me way back yonder. The more I see myself as what I was way back yonder when God saved me. And you know what? I've got a second nature on the inside of me, Aaron. And a lot of that old wicked stuff still on the inside of me. Every once in a while, that junk will get up. It'll flare up. It'll raise up. And I'm just stupid enough to feed that old man. I'm stupid enough sometimes to feed that old nature. And then God, the Holy Ghost, will smite my heart immediately. And I tell you, I have to crawl somewhere and let God cleanse me one more time. You ever saw yourself lost? You ever saw yourself lost? That's a good enough position to get saved. You may not understand all the details,
of how wicked you are. But you'll get to understand it. Yes, Miss Kim, it's the most sick, vile thing I've ever seen. What's inside my heart? The things that God has revealed about me to me. But on the night I got saved, Zach, I knew I deserved to go to hell, and I knew I was going to hell. But you know what I did, Miss Hannah? I wasn't able to go out there and pray no, you know, real fancy, special, you know, adequate, elaborate words. But I'll tell you what I found out, Miss Stephanie. What was adequate for the Lord was, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Brother Zach, that's about all I could say. I didn't say, Miss Kim, what the Baptists say. I didn't ask Jesus to come in my heart. I can't even buy that in the Bible. Lord, come in. I'm not criticizing if somebody did. I'm just telling you, I didn't. I know a lot of people that has that's going to bust hell wide open. Lord, come in my heart. Hey, would you believe that when I was in the 7th and 8th grade, I was such a sweet kid that I had a problem with my salvation, and I grew up underneath preaching, and I'd sneak around and smoke cigarettes and chew in the back. I'd find cigarettes that people put out about halfway through. I was a poor boy, son. I didn't care. We didn't know nothing about AIDS and herpes and gonorrhea and all that back then. I'd pick up an old used cigarette and finish smoking it full of powder. In the 7th and 8th grade, sneaking around the bleachers at the high school, Miss Debbie, picking up cigarettes and stuff, smoking them, sneaking around smoking them. Wicked! Wicked! A girl passed you going down the school hall, and I wasn't no different than any African in my school. I was going to slap, pinch, grab, I was going to do me something. Wicked! Wicked! Miss Kim, every morning that I can remember, of course I was afraid of copperheads. We had to walk through the school, the woods, to get to the school. And I figured if God saved me, he wouldn't let a copperhead bite me. And every day of my life I said, Lord, if I ain't saved, come to my heart and save me. If I ain't saved, Lord, come. And I meant it as long as I was in contact with them copperheads. I seen one the other day on the road, and I like to total my truck to hit that sucker. I squalled tires and whipped that thing around. It's unbelievable, man. I had me a spell. I seen a copperhead. They said, well, you didn't kill it. Yeah, you run over them, they're going to crawl off and suffer to death, and that makes me happier. I want them to suffer to death. Sorry, suckers. Lord, if I ain't saved, come in my heart and save me. And I'd walk Miss Kim and I'd live like the devil that day. Didn't no more mean it than the man. I meant it with my mouth, but I didn't mean it with my heart. I meant it with my mind, but I didn't mean it with my heart. Lord, if I ain't saved, Lord, come in my heart and save me. I was about 15 years old, Miss Hannah. I got down there, man. I was afraid of going to hell. I was worried about going to hell. Brother Sammy done preached me into hell. I got down there on my bedside. I began to pray. And I'll tell you what I got me, Miss Kim. I got me a time and I got me a place. It was 10 minutes to 11, July 6, 1981. I could take you to the X on the floor. I could take you to the time. I could take you to the place. I made me a profession and I got up without Jesus. Because I didn't want to go to hell. I started reading my Bible because it was my duty. It was not my delight. And I got in that closet and learned memorized over 300 Bible verses. Underneath a flashlight, taped to a hanger. Because we weren't allowed to have the lights on. I'd crawl in my little old 2x3 closet, me and my brother, him on one side, me on the other. And study the Bible. And I'll never forget, Eric, we would go down there in the bottoms and pray. He said to me one day, come on, man, let's go down to the bottoms and pray. I said, I ain't a praying. I don't need God. That almost sounds like some of them Egyptians, them Israelites that came out of Egypt. Would to God was back over yonder in Egypt.
That ain't salvation. Hey, that ain't salvation. Crossing the Red Sea ain't salvation. Making a profession ain't salvation. Asking Jesus in your heart ain't salvation. All them might be some wonderful works, but it ain't passing from death unto life. I was out there in them woods, and I tell you, man, the Lord did expose to me my sinfulness. He exposed to me my sinful nature. He let me see that I was a sinner without God, damned and doomed and destined for hell. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I was so sick of my sin. He exposed my sin to me. He brought up, he crossed me with my issue. And I'm telling you, I was sick. What my issue was, because God nailed me. And I bowed down out there in them woods next to that old tree. I said, Lord, and I said a couple of things that I won't share, but I said, God, would you have mercy on me, a sinner? Bam! That northern wind blew south into my heart. God passed me right then and right there. I'm telling you, I got up and I thought, man, most Baptists wouldn't even agree with this. But you know what God did? God heard my heart. He wasn't listening to my mouth. He was listening to his heart. Brother Zach, you know why I was able to call on him? Because I believe. You know why I was able to call on him? Because the law of God that sought me out. You know why I was able to search the Lord? Because the Lord was searching me. I didn't pick the time. I told y'all 100 times I ain't picked the time. I didn't pick the place. I didn't pick none of that. I didn't even have any intentions of going to church that night, getting saved. I grew up under good preaching. I cut my teeth on some of the best preaching this nation has ever heard. Oliver Green, son, I grew up cutting my teeth on Oliver B. Green every day of my life. And I can remember Mr. and him coming to the convention center in downtown Winston-Salem. I was a teeny little boy, and I'd get drugged in there at the convention center. Brother Green's going to be in town. We're going to be there. But I was wicked as the devil. Can I share with you something the Lord let me see? One of the things the Lord did show me when I was lost that night. Everything I'd done. Everything I was. Was hell deserving. The best of the best that I ever accomplished deserved hell. And I'm glad God brought it up before me. And I'm glad that God ain't just listening to our mouths. God's listening to our hearts. Preacher, I want to be saved. God hears your heart. He can't hardly accept what we say with our mouth sometimes. Eric, I remember the Holy Ghost dealing with me, and you know, Miss Hannah, have y'all ever listened to that Amish guy's testimony at your daddy's church about a year ago? It was about as good a testimony as I've ever heard in my entire life. I mean, son, in the Amish community, Miss Kim, he went through all their little religious performances, and he said this, he said, boy, he said, I got down on that altar and I got to praying, and he prayed that little prayer that they pray, and he said, I felt the burden of my heart roll away. He said, I got up and felt like I could float out of the church. He said, boy, my one problem, I was on my way to hell. That's pretty tough, ain't it? The night I got saved, I love my family. I believe in the family. I don't always treat my family the best, but I love my family and I believe in family and I hate divorce. I hate separation. I hate trouble in any home. I hate it.
I grew up in that atmosphere. And I hate it. And I just about did a good job raising my own kids in the same atmosphere just because of being so stupid. But Eric, the night I got saved, I didn't give a flip about the family. The night I got saved, I wasn't going to church to get saved. I told John my mama wouldn't leave me alone. John Rickenbacker, I doubt any of y'all ever know him. You might have crossed paths with him. Miss Hannah, he made me sick. I didn't like him. I can remember him being 17 years old, coming to Faith Baptist camp, and he's 17, and all he done was he mimicked Sammy Allen, and there was a lot of people that mimicked Sammy Allen back in those days. They'd all go get some wingtips and an overcoat, and they would all carry their Bibles up like this, and, you know, they'd all get that little limp like Brother Sammy had. It wasn't as bad back, you know, in the 80s. It wasn't as bad, but he still had that little strut with it, you know, where he dragged that leg behind. And all of them had that little walk, and when they preached, and as a kid, I'd sit there and watch it, and it would make me sick because I knew it was fake. No individuality. They were trying to be like somebody else. And the problem was, you didn't have the power of God on you like the other one did. The presence of God was missing. The prayer life was missing. Man, the prayer life was missing. I'm talking about, bless God. Hey, listen, when's the last time we went out in the woods and come out soaking wet in the wintertime? We ain't praying. Hey, Gracie, is she awake? Look up here at me. Turn around. If we ain't going out there in the woods in the wintertime and praying and coming home soaking wet with good sweat, we ain't praying, we're playing. I want the youngest to know the difference between playing and praying. Them old timers, bless God, would go out there in the wintertime and pray. That's the difference between them and us. They'd go out there in the wintertime and come back to the house soaking wet when it was about 30 degrees outside from perspiration, where they prayed through to God. And I'm talking about for 2 and 3 and 8 and 9 hours at a time. We don't pray anymore. We play religion anymore. God have mercy on us. I wouldn't know God. I'm telling you, the amount of God that we know today ain't enough to halfway touch a thimble. Old timers knew something, buddy. It was real to them. Well, so preacher, what was they doing? Is out there in the woods wrestling with God? Because they knew if God didn't intervene, everybody under the sound of their voice was going to die and go to hell. They knew that. They knew the only way to have a real revival and to have some real evangelism was if God broke through. Now we go pray, and if our religious pride is satisfied, we're done. We done that thing. I mean, we done. Oh, I prayed. I prayed my prayer. I don't know anything else to say. And it took a whole 15 minutes to get it all said. That's religion, ladies and gentlemen. I believe you can pray in 15 minutes. But I believe when a man agonizes with God, it's going to take a while. And I believe it ought to take a while on a regular basis. Preacher, do you do it? I'd be a liar if I said I did. Be a liar if I said I did. I'm going to quit. I didn't get nowhere near what I wanted, but maybe I got what the Lord wanted. Religion's keeping people from salvation. Riches are keeping people from salvation. Relatives are keeping people from Jesus. What is it that's keeping you from Jesus? What is it that's keeping you from salvation? What is it that's keeping you from being able to agree with God on what He's crossed you up with? And it will be against yourself. What is it?
It ain't worth it. Father, we thank you for this day. Pray God you'd help us. Oh, Lord, I pray that you could take this thought today. God, use it for your glory. Help us, Lord. I want to see people saved. I want to see people know you. I want to see people have a right relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I believe a lot of times we got things conjured up in our minds that just ain't Bible. And Lord, sometimes we just have to take time, Lord, to just wrestle with the Lord until God, you touch us and the light breaks through. Help us, Lord God, to take it more serious. Help me as a pastor to take it more serious for the souls of these people for the sake of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank y'all for praying for me since Wednesday. I've been feeling better and better and better. Really, Thursday, I felt a lot better about all day.